Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
They're at Starlight tonight. So we decided to make Heart 80s art because it's a Tuesday throwback. Heart making their debut as your artist of the day.
I say, that might be a first.
It is a first.
I can't believe they haven't been.
Right?
We're going to mix a little Joan Jett in there today, too.
Yeah, Joan Jett's opening tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm.
That's a good show, man. I wish I had known in advance. I'd probably go to that show.
Yeah. That's good.
A little Barracuda.
You still can.
Barracuda.
Anyway, good afternoon. Hello, everyone.
Good day.
How was your event last night?
It was so good.
You were a little...
I was a little stressed out about the timing, but it ended up being amazing. And if you missed our podcast with Axel Brimley from Germany last week, he was the keynote last night, and I moderated the discussion with him. And he's the one.
Governor was there?
Governor actually was sick.
Oh, she didn't make it.
Could not come, but the room was packed with law enforcement, corrections officers, other dignitaries, and representatives from six or seven different states.
Yeah, Minnesota was there. I believe some folks came in from like Wisconsin or whatever. It was actually and I use controversial a little bit in air quotes here, but when we had the conversation with Axel Brimley.
Yeah.
That's how you have to say it in German.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful language.
Mm-hmm. Very guttural. People were writing in saying, are we going to pamper these prisoners? Are we going to treat them like it's a country club?
So if you missed the podcast with Mr. Brimley, he comes on and talks about how they, in the 1970s, shifted their thinking about prisons.
In Germany,
inmates, prison reform, all of those things.
Oh, keyword, quick.
Don't look at me. I don't have it.
SODA. S-O-D-A. Text that to 72881.
Sorry. Message and data rates apply.
Please don't text and drive.
So if you Google 60 Minutes German prisons,
it's a great story. It's a really good story. Whether you agree with it or not,
Story. They went over there. Yeah. And Bill Whitaker did the story, and it kind of shows you how their system is really different than ours. Mm-hmm. However, their recidivism rate is half of what we see in the United States.
The recidivism rate in the United States is 77%. The recidivism rate in Germany is 35%.
Yeah. He told me last night, in his 26 years at this one prison, he never had an incident where a guard was threatened, someone was harmed, nothing.
They give them letter openers.
They get along. Everyone over there gets along. It's a much more intensive therapy, rehabilitative system than we have here. Here's the other deal. They pay their guards exactly what they pay their police officers. It's the exact same. And so their staffing issues, they don't see that over there like we do here. Their retention rates of guards are better. And yes, it was controversial. People will say, screw them. If you can't afford to do the time, don't do the crime. Right, but that's costing America $182 billion a year. We have no space. In Kansas, we're
farming them out to Arizona.
Farming prisoners out to Arizona.
Nevada or wherever.
Which I think is $1 million per to do that. And so anyway, if you missed it, it's up on podcast from last week. Check out the 60 Minutes piece. It is super interesting. And Connecticut has adopted this style where the prisoners have a mentor.
But Connecticut is the only state
so far
that has adopted the German style.
They are seeing some good results, though, Scott, if you look it up. It's you know. And even in Germany, they will tell you they have issues. It's expensive. They do have a 35% recidivism rate, but it is nothing like the problems
we
see here.
But quite frankly, Dana, and when you think about 35%, you think, well, that's not that good.
It's better than 77.
It's better than 77. That's right.
Yeah.
And people would say, well, and we tackled this, I think it was last Thursday they came in or whatever it was. People would say, well, over in Germany, they don't have gangs. We have gangs here in the United States. That is patently not true.
And the extreme violent offenders are not roaming around, you know, coming in and out as they please. It's more for the overwhelming majority that are low-level offenders. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. 95% of our inmates will get out. And so it's in everybody's best interest, fiscally and socially, that they come out with job training. They come out with some skill set where they can find employment. And so, yeah, it was a good event. It was a good event. It was the first annual. We'll do another one next year and see where it goes.
Somebody says, what the F is recidivism? Recidivism is when somebody goes out of prison and then ends up committing another crime and goes back
in. It's the revolving door.
Yeah. So 77. So, Texter, to answer your question, 8192, recidivism is the return rate, if you will, on somebody who has been in prison. They did a crime, they're imprisoned, they're released, they commit another crime, and then they're right back into the system again.
They interviewed a guy last night who has been in for 22 years. I did not ask for what. He's been in for 22 years. He will be released in 4 months, and he comes out with incredible job training. Mentors,
Is this a Deutscher or an American?
No, this is an American. Men in this program, it's called Reaching Out From Within, who have mentored him so that once he's out, he gets a job.
Well.
It's in everyone's best interest that when they come out, they have something to do, some skill.
You know what I thought was lost in the conversation that we had with last week was his, and I think I was the one that asked him, what do they do with your criminal record when you're released? And he said, it is expunged.
When you're done, it's
done.
It
is erased. And I wish we had spent more time on that topic, because one of the big barriers, as I'm sure you learned last night, if you didn't already know it, I'm sure you already did, Dana, was that one of the biggest barriers for people who get out of prison to get a new job is the background check.
Sure.
And I want to be tough on crime too. And I think it's important that we are tough on crime. But we all say, well, we don't want them going back in. We don't want them committing more crimes. Well, the best way to make sure that somebody doesn't commit another crime, hopefully, is to give them a job.
Give them tools to support themselves. And we're not talking about mass murderers here or rapists. You know, these are, by and large, low-level drug offenders. Maybe someone stole a car 5 years ago. Apparently, we have a guy in prison in Kansas for 8 years. He was caught with marijuana, and he's in for 8 years. And even Axel silly. Brimley last night said, come on. Who does that help?
He has an 8-year gap on his employment history. Yeah. Then when they do a background check, he's been arrested for pot, whoop-de-doo, and he won't be able to get a job.
Yeah.
So when he can't get a job, what does he do? He has to survive. So he commits a crime to survive. He robs you.
Yeah.
Or he robs me or Will or Sam. Yeah. He robs because he can't get a job. I don't mean to sound like a bleeding heart liberal here. I'm just trying to sound like a pragmatist.
The problem is, Scott, and I was talking with my husband about this last night, there's no appetite, and maybe that's shifting. If you can draw a line fiscally with how much money would be saved if we went this route instead of the route we're going, there's no appetite for lawmakers or policymakers or even your average Joe on the street to support prisoners. There just isn't.
Because when you do, as a politician, guess what happens?
You're soft on crime.
You're soft.
It's because so few people understand the bigger picture. They're all out for their bloodlust, and that's all they're focused on.
Dana Wright. Risky.
Right?
Soft on crime.
Which is why everyone is watching Connecticut so closely.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can show, even in 5 years, their recidivism rate even drops 10% or 20%, then I think people will start to take a look.
Your keyword to cash this hour is SODA, S-O-D-A, 72881. S-O-D-A, SODA, 72881. Interesting story here from the Kansas City Star. Charles King remembers in his third year teaching a parent called him aside and told him to be more authentic, to let some of his roots show, because the black students in that urban Houston school needed to know that he was one of them. The encounter changed the way that King, now 39, and the head of a Kansas City teacher training program would deal with students for the rest of his teaching career. For the first time, he realized the importance and the power of being black in the classroom. Last month, the Urban League of Kansas City report on the state of black Kansas City concluded that schools here are still separate and unequal, and called into question the lack of men of color teaching in the district and charter school programs. By the way, in case you're wondering, 1% of teachers are black men.
What percentage of teachers, like your brother, who is now in administration, are men, period? I'm going to look that up, because the percentage of black men is extraordinarily low, but the percentage of men, especially in the elementary education...
I can answer the question for you without you having to look it up. 80% of teachers in the United States are white women.
Wow.
80% of teachers in the United States are white women.
Wow.
2% are African American, but in the state of Missouri, it is 1.2%. Is that a problem? Because if it's a problem that we don't have enough black people teaching in public schools, we also, quite frankly, don't have enough men teaching in public schools.
In elementary school, it's 11%. In secondary school, just men, it's 11% in elementary. It's 36% in secondary. But in elementary, it is low.
Well, I can assure you, when Maya was at Riverview Elementary School in Western Shawnee, in her fifth grade year, after Mr. Hodges left as the PE teacher, there was not a single man in that school, and I include the janitor. Everyone who worked in that school was a woman.
Okay, so what does that say about our high schools on the student end of things? And our colleges, is it a recruiting issue? I mean, are we not saying to young men, education is a noble, viable profession? Think about it. Mm. And if we're not saying that, when does that conversation start?
What is it about elementary school? And I obviously have to turn to our teachers. Most of you are in class, so I will turn to our former teachers. What is it about elementary school that men, for whatever reason, just aren't attracted?
Or that women just gravitate toward?
Is it the nurturing of the woman's psyche?
But I'll tell you, we had one male, I think, in our elementary school when my kids were going through that school. There was one male teacher, I think, maybe one, and then one in middle school. And I mean to tell you, the parents clamored to get their sons into that class. So if you have a, you know, rowdy fifth grade boy, those parents were knocking down the door, please, can we request the male teacher? You're not allowed to request, but everyone wanted the guy.
I can tell you this.
And not just because he was a guy, but he was a great teacher and a guy.
By the time I got to high school, and this includes, you know, in elementary school, you're in the same classroom all day. But in middle school, you go class to class to class to class. By the time I had gotten to high school, I had had a total of 2 male teachers. Social studies with Mr. Herford and Texas history with Mr. I can't remember.
Did you ever have a black male teacher?
Mr. Herford was black.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was also my football coach, and he used to drill holes in his paddle to cut down on wind resistance.
What a hard ass.
That's what he said when he was hitting me.
Thank you.
No, I had 2 male teachers prior to high school.
I had 0.
You had 0?
0 male teachers prior to high school.
Were you in a smaller town, Will?
Yes.
I'm guessing, and I hate to make a broad sweeping statement here, but I'm guessing in smaller towns, it's even harder to attract male teachers.
What town did you grow up in?
Moberly.
Moberly, Missouri?
Yep.
Okay.
And on top of that, I was, with the exception of my kindergarten year, I was in a religious school. So that narrows the pool even further.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because the nuns.
Yes.
Did you ever get your knuckles wrapped?
I never got my knuckles wrapped, but Sister Kathy was the one who taught typing. She not only put stickers over all the letters on the keyboard to make sure you couldn't look, but to make sure that you kept your wrists elevated because that's proper typing form, put a strip of thumbtacks directly behind the base of the keyboard. So if your wrist came down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not very Christ-like.
Well, I got an experience of what it was like on a very small scale for him at the end.
Someone just wrote in, men do not.
It just didn't go all the way through for me.
Men don't teach as often because of the pay. Hands down, Scott.
Could that be it? Could also part of it, and I hate to suggest this, but we now are at a point where we look at any male who's doing anything with a child with an eyebrow raised. Hmm. Are there guys who would say, yeah, I would teach, but I don't want to be accused of this, that, or the other with kids every time I turn around?
I don't know that it's that.
I don't know as much as it is,
and I do think you have to be careful, giving rides home and stuff like that. But I think the pay might have something to do with it.
576-7798.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car.
Hey, don't forget your keyword this hour is soda. Text that into 72881. Sucking on chili dough. You guys want to play a game this afternoon?
Please.
You want to do, what do you want to do? You want to do Family Feud?
Yeah, we can do Family Feud.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Okay, then apparently yes.
Whoa.
Yep.
Someone is mad that she doesn't wear the belt.
I am ready to play some Family Feud.
Ready to lose again.
Hey, tough talker in there. Be quiet.
I don't even get to play.
You want to play Family Feud?
I'm fine with that.
You want to play Family Feud?
I do, and I think Sam should get to be the tiebreaker if there's no number one. Like if I pick number 5 and Starrett picks number 3.
No.
Okay.
There are only 2 teams in Family Feud. Well, we follow the rules here, Dana.
You know that is the lowest, if you're going to go on a game show, it really is the worst return on your money because there are so many people involved. Congratulations, you barely paid for your 3 days here.
Yeah, it's true because you have to divide it up against every member of your family. Yeah. Which is what? There's 5 of you on there?
And it's not a huge amount of money anyway, and then half of it goes to
taxes. I think the max you can win is $25,000.
Yeah.
So, and you always have to divvy it up with the one family member who gives a stupid answer every time. But because it's Family Feud, you have to go, hey, good answer.
So if you're in California anyway, and you win a couple $1,000s, that's one thing. But like the families who like fly out there and you stay 3 or 4 days, you are losing money to go on that show, even if you win.
They don't pay you to be on that show?
No.
Well, I thought they'd at least cover your airfare and all that if you get through casting.
They probably put you up in a hotel that night or something, but do you know how expensive it is to visit California?
No.
You are losing money on that transaction if you win.
Now, I would imagine that most of those families are doing that in conjunction with...
Like a family trip.
Right, exactly. Yeah, all right, it's family vacation. While we're there, we'll do Family Feud.
He said, Cupid.
Did you ever hear that one?
Yes, we've heard it.
pork, cupine. And then he says, it's up there. It's up there. Steve Harvey goes, I will bet my next paycheck.
It isn't up there.
It's not up there. Alex and Joko. Alex, hello.
Hi. Hi. I love your show.
Thank
by
you.
The
it's
way.
Yours.
Oh. So I have two sons. They both came from Blue Valley High Schools. And my younger son right now has the majority, he's a sophomore, has the majority of male teachers. And my older son is a freshman at KU. And he is most likely going to be changing his major to education so that he can teach high school students history.
Awesome.
And that was mostly because of his experience in high school with the male teachers.
So he had such a good experience and mentors and that kind of thing mm-hmm. that he decided, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and I think he connected and he could see that this is actually a very positive profession, that men can do it, that it's something that, you know, these guys are great with the kids, they are fun, they enjoy their jobs, and it's a very real job for a lot of guys out there. And I think to your point that about the money, I think there are real concerns about that, but I think most families have two working parents these days, you know. I mean, I don't know. I do think the money is a little bit of a concern for a lot of people, but hopefully, you know, people do what they want with their lives, and hopefully, you know, if that's what he chooses to do, that he finds happiness and fulfillment in it, you know?
Mm.
Does he want to get into administration or just teach?
You know, I don't know. I can see where having, like, right now he's in the business school, so I can see where if he could get a minor in business on top of it, where that could really help. But most of the teachers nowadays, like he's talked about, the one that he really liked it also had a master's degree. And so he was able to teach at a higher level to where the kids could have AP classes and things like that. So I think a lot of the teachers in the high school now are getting master's degrees on top of it anyway, so they can get that administration track on top of it. So if that's what he wants to do, you know, post undergrad, I think that would be great and a good option as well. You know,
somebody pointed out on the text line, the reason that men are inherently more attracted to the high school teaching is so they can coach sports.
Well, I also saw on the text line, they don't want to put up with the BS. Not that anyone does.
You probably get more BS at the high school level than you do at the elementary school.
What do you think the percentage is in elementary education of administrators who are male, the principal, versus teachers who are male? If teachers are 11% male in elementary school, I'm betting the administration number is higher.
I would say this as it pertains to the high school aspect, too. You don't have quite the captive audience that you do in elementary and middle school. You know, regarding the whole don't want to put up with the BS, if a student really doesn't want to be there, by the time high school rolls around, they're dropping out. So you are left with a crop of students who have decided that maybe it's in their best interest to be there. Whereas if you're dealing with elementary students, especially behavioral issues, they're there. And they're you're going to have to deal with it.
You know, maybe things have changed over the years since I got out of high school, but there were plenty of Spicolis in my high school.
Oh, there were, too. Don't get me wrong. And there was plenty of snark, too. But as far as the people who really, truly did not want to be there, they're gone.
I mean, there were a lot of Dana Wrights, but there were a lot of Scott Parkses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that means.
A lot of kids who wanted to be there and a lot of kids who didn't want to be there.
But you at least understood the value of you being there.
But you liked being in school. You hated high school, but you liked the idea.
I liked the work. Yeah, I didn't mind the work.
You were a nerd.
I was sort of a nerd.
You were sort of a book nerd.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Nerds rule the world.
I agree.
How much money would I have to pay you to do one more day, to go back in time, and do one more day at Seaman High School?
I don't know. It would not be my first choice. If you said you can go back to any era of your life,
that would be the last one.
I'd go to Lawrence. I would not go to Topeka.
It was not good for you.
No, it just wasn't, you know.
Why didn't you have fun in high school?
I think my mom always says I look backward in history not with rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. but with brown glass. And I don't know why. Because most of us look back more fondly than it was. And I'm the opposite. I think I look back on it worse than it was. Because she said to me before, you had so much fun in high school. And I go, I don't, like.
Did you have friends?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have dates?
Yeah. Went to dances.
Did you go to prom with some
guy? But I have not stayed in contact with
anyone.
No, one. Danny, I have one friend who's a good friend of mine.
You weren't even invited to your high school reunion.
That is accurate. Was omitted.
Now, I don't have, the way that I look at it is, I don't ever have a dream about high school that is all the fun stuff. I do have a dream about high school where I'm worrying about passing a test or
you
missing,
can't find the class.
Right. And yeah.
We
it's
all
like
have that dream.
That's my point though. Whenever I actually have memories of high school, they're not good.
Justin in Kansas City. Justin, hello. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hey guys, love the show. Got to meet you guys when you were in Liberty a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Love you. Love you guys both.
Thank you, man.
My wife is a inner city school teacher, and she is saying that they desperately need more male teachers because the young men that are coming to school nowadays are not finding any male leadership, especially in school, and they are craving it.
Yeah.
Both in their actions, their behavior, their attitudes of school. She said that if there's a male in the classroom, males will excel at school, hands down.
Really?
She said that the same subject she teaches with men, she teaches English with young men, do far poorer than they do with male teachers in the same subject.
Huh.
Across the board.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you called in.
I think there's been a study on that. I'm going to look it up.
All right, do that.
That male students do, you know, academically tend to do very well with male teachers.
My favorite teachers from high school were the male teachers, and they were definitely not in the majority.
Same.
576-7798. Don't forget your keyword this hour is soda. 576-7798. Text that into 72881. I don't feel tardy. We're following developments, but we cannot get in. I'm not going to burn the house down. Mm-hmm. We're following developments in the incredible, awful, tragic shooting in KCK. If and when we learn something, we will share those details with you. That's all I was going to say. Is that okay? I think that was vague enough.
I'm good.
Why were you burning the house down?
Well, she's like,
about to put him in timeout.
She was about to put me in timeout.
Hey, somebody else in timeout.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Did we ever set a time, speaking of time, for Family Feud?
Let's do 4 o'clock.
Okay. I knew we talked about it,
let's do 4:45. Let's do 4:45.
All right.
So one of the studies that I found was, and it was The Independent that posted this, but they studied more than 1,000 men. And they revealed almost half of them cited male primary school teachers as having had the most impact on them in their school life. In addition, 35% said having a male teacher challenged them to work harder at school. 22% said males had boosted their confidence in their own abilities.
All right, let me ask you this, and we'll go around the room. K through 12, teacher or coach, doesn't matter, but somebody you came into contact with on a regular basis in K through 12, which one had the biggest impact on your life?
My favorite was a male, and he was my psychology teacher in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
You remember the name?
And then my calculus teacher, I loved him, male.
Dude? Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Physics teacher was male.
Maybe we should just bar women from teaching.
No.
Yeah, there's a solution. Not a very good one, but
always
it's a solution.
He's going one step too far.
Will?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Teacher, K through 12, coach or teacher,
yeah,
had the biggest impact on your life. Go.
Mr. Swisher.
That's all I needed to know.
Yep.
Sam?
Mr. Tony Bedetti.
Bedetti.
He was my government teacher.
Coach Rick Hodum for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
All dudes.
There's another article
Women should get out of teaching.
That says male teacher shortage affects boys who need role models. Here's what I'll say, because that one person called in and said, we desperately need the men for role models. What a pressure to put on the lone one or two men in the elementary school that you're the role model. And not that they don't know that, but especially at the elementary level where there might be zero or one, that's just, to me, an additional pressure that you're putting on a male teacher that, oh, and by the way, we desperately need you because these boys need role models.
But why are men not attracted to teaching at the elementary school level?
I think it's pay.
Is the pay different at the elementary school level than it is at the high school level?
I believe so.
If you're a first-year teacher at the elementary school level, you get paid less than a first-year teacher at the high school level? His voice goes up two octaves?
From the text line, Dana's psychology teacher had his hands full.
Scott, I think, honestly, the nurturing nature of it does have a lot to play into it, though.
I do, too.
Because you don't see a whole lot of male babysitters. And that is interesting.
And don't discount what I said earlier. I know that it was said and kind of swept aside, but I really think there are a lot of guys who would consider it, but don't want to be accused of things that would come along with that. And so they just stay out of it.
All right, Channel 9 is reporting it, so I'm going to go.
I just got another email.
Yep. The Kansas City, Kansas Police Department has surrounded a home near North 14th Street and Riverview Avenue, just four blocks away from the Tequila Casey Bar mass shooting that killed four people, injured five others. Thomas Tomasik with the KCK Police Department said, quote, there is a possibility, but no confirmation, that this is in connection with their search for Hugo Villanueva Morales. Numerous police units reported on the scene, including KCKPD tactical units. Villanueva Morales has been charged with four counts of first-degree murder after the shooting. His alleged accomplice, Javier Alatorre, is also charged in the case. He was taken into custody on Sunday.
I'm also hearing there are officers on bullhorns saying, Hugo, come out. And may all of those officers come home safely.
Amen to that. So if you're in KCK,
you do not want to be around
14th and Riverview.
And Riverview. Now, it is directly northwest of that bar.
Since it's just four blocks
directly
away.
Directly northwest. Look at that. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I'm no criminal. But if you're a criminal who is accused of four murders, don't you go a little farther away than four blocks from the crime scene?
Hiding in plain sight.
Are you that dumb?
This is just north of the Supermart El Torito and northwest of the church's chicken there. Just if you're in the area and you need your bearings.
If you're in the area, get the hell out of the area.
You do not want to be over there.
That is not where you want to be this afternoon.
According to this map, there is an elementary school 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks directly east of this scene. M.E. Pearson Elementary School. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four blocks.
What an idiot. Hey, I just allegedly killed four people. I think I'm going to hole up in a house four blocks away. You're a moron.
But again, in most instances, we're not talking about intelligent people who are involved in a life of crime.
Yeah.
Touche.
There aren't a whole lot of MIT grads, I'm guessing, with rap sheets like this.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.